This year, our homes and our offices are now the same space. Maybe you've had to deal with overhearing your partner's conference calls. Or one of my friends was telling me the other day that they've been sitting in their car in the garage for some necessary alone time. We've all been dealing with even more stress than usual. And if any of these scenarios sound like you, it's a good idea to get support from a therapist to figure out how to find peace and quiet within yourself. Talkspace therapists give you the support that you need to feel your best. Talkspace has thousands of licensed therapists trained in over 40 specialties, including anxiety, depression, relationships, and more. Your therapist can help you set and achieve your goals. I think you'll be amazed at how much progress you make each week that you attend therapy. You guys, I love it because it is affordable. Talkspace is a fraction of the cost of in-person therapy. Instead of waiting for an appointment, you can send unlimited messages to your therapist 24/7 and they'll engage with you 5 days a week. As a listener of this podcast, you'll get $100 off of your first month with Talkspace. To match with a licensed therapist today, go to Talkspace.com or download the app. Make sure to use the code HAPPY to get $100 off of your first month and show your support for the show. That's happyandtalkspace.com.
I think you can work on how you react to things. I think you can change that about yourself. I think becoming more conscious and aware and all these things, what you can't get is more driven, in my opinion.
Welcome to the Earn Your Happy podcast. I'm Lori Harder, founder of The Bliss Project, three-time fitness world champion, fitness expert, and cover model turned self-love junkie, lifestyle entrepreneur, and author. Each week, I'll bring you a guest or a thought that will help you bust through your fears, connect to your soul, and get focused and clear so you can elevate your life, business, and relationships. We don't wait until we're ready for someone to tell us we're good enough. We take what we want and we anoint ourselves. Get ready to earn, own, and unapologetically rock your happiness every single day. Are you with me? Here we go. Welcome back to the show. This podcast, literally one of my favorites. I'm just at that place in my life where I want to hear the raw, real journey of what it looked like to build your company from scratch. This passionate idea that you had getting brought to life and all of the walls that you constantly hit as an entrepreneur. And this conversation is definitely exactly what I was needing. And I know that it is going to help you too. So Josh Landon started his career telling stories from behind the lens, filming, directing, writing, and producing films and documentaries featuring some of the world's top surfers, snowboarders, and skateboarders. The passion for bringing his athlete friend stories to life led him to create St. Archer Brewing Company. Maybe you've heard of it. And later Harlan Brewing Company. Recognizing all of his friends were quickly developing a taste for hard seltzer, Josh saw an opportunity to create something different and tell a new story with his friends from all walks of life. Ashland Hard Seltzer was brewed to bring people together, to share moments and create stories as one. Moments are fleeting, but stories live forever. And side note, Josh just sold St. Archer Brewing to Coors for $100 million. And most recently, he sold Ashland Hard Seltzer to Anheuser-Busch after only 11 months of building the brand. You guys have got to listen in to how all of this happened. Let's get started. Josh, I'm so excited to have you on the podcast. Thank you so much for coming on.
Thank you for having me. I'm excited.
You're one of those people I actually wish I would have hit record like the second we were on, because I was like, oh, he's giving great stuff already. Okay. You guys, I'm really thrilled to have Josh on, not only because of all of the things I just read in his bio, but also you are I'm mutually building something at the same time, I feel like. So you don't know this, but you are like a secret mentor. It's like when you're my friend, but you don't know that, you know, you're my friend online, like that type of thing. So I'm super excited. Yeah. You're a massive inspiration. I think the reason why I'm so inspired is because you are doing it all over again as well. With a new company. And a couple of the things that I heard on some of your just different interviews and your story was just like that moment when you decided to go completely all in, even when it seemed really like, you know, no one had been doing what you were doing before. Right. And also, you know, raising money from people who really didn't have a lot of money, but fully believed in you. So we're going to talk about your story in a second, but I think that everybody listening can relate to those moments of like, oh my God, this is a lot of pressure. This is all on me. If I decide to go past the tipping point with that dream and go all in, like, have you always liked that pressure, or how did you deal with the pressure of like, holy shit, this is like do or die?
Yeah. I think, I've always enjoyed, I grew up in Ventura, which is a small coastal town just south of Santa Barbara here in Southern California. And, you know, I think for me, I always, you know, if I wanted to do something small, I guess, in the kind of entrepreneurial phase of my life, I would have just done it there, you know, like I would have been the only brewery. I would have been a big fish in a very small pond. And, I've never been afraid of being the biggest fish in the biggest pond. Mm. And really, like, that's what I wanted. It was really just an internal thing, right? It wasn't something that I didn't read it and go, oh, I actually want all the pressure in the world. I've just always been comfortable with it. I've never, I never think about, you know, how much I've in the last 8 years, I've probably raised almost $50 million privately.
Wow.
From like folks just like you and your husband, right? Mm-hmm. I've gotten no venture capital money, none of that stuff.
Yeah.
So it's always been just regular folks like me. Yeah. So which I guess would provide more pressure, right?
Yeah.
Because it, whether you're giving $5,000 or $500,000, it's all relative to whoever you're speaking with, right? So the pressure is just the same. But I guess I wholeheartedly believe in what I'm doing. Mm-hmm. And I think it's, you know, you get to a point where I can do everything right. I mean, I can get, now I've got it down kind of, I can get pretty damn close to get it to where I can control people buying it, mm-hmm. but you can't like physically make them pull it off the shelf.
Yep.
But I know if I do everything that I do, if people just walk in and go, Ashlyn sucks. It looks like shit. I've heard it tastes like shit. I'm over it. I don't want it. Mm-hmm. I can't do anything about that. Mm-hmm. You know, but what I can do is get it there and give us the best chance to win. And that's all I can really do. And I'm confident in my abilities to do that.
Okay. Something that you said, it's like, what makes you different, or what is it, something that can be learned, where you said, you know, you have to believe in what you're doing. Like, what do you think has made you believe in actually going for your dream? Because there's a lot of people at home who are like, I have this really big dream, but I don't believe in myself. Is that your parents, or what was that?
Yeah, I think it was definitely, it was my parents on both sides of it. I'm an only child. Mm-hmm. My parents are working class. You know, we didn't have a ton of money. My dad, I never got the approval from my dad that I think I was looking for. And my mom, on the complete flip side, was very supportive and was like, follow your dream. And I actually believed her when she said I could do anything that I wanted. I was an awful student. Awful.
Same.
didn't go to college. And I just kind of... You know, I think it's innately in you. You know, I think that's one of the things that, you know, you know if there's something in you that you just need to do, right? For some folks, it's maybe doing a triathlon. Maybe it's like, you know, it's working somewhere, or it's like something in you. And for me, like when I was a filmmaker full time, I just knew that I was going to do whatever it takes to make films. Mm. And then now, with these businesses, like there's nothing that's going to stand in my way. And that's not a learned trait, right? You don't learn how to have that emotion in you.
Yeah.
And I think that's where most folks, I think one of the things, like when you're at college and you're at the, you know, business school or whatever you're doing, that's like, that's probably one of the biggest things, is you can use that time to figure out who you are. That's probably the biggest thing, right? Like you're an employee, or you're a business owner, or you're an entrepreneur, right? Mm-hmm. There's a big difference between all three of those things, right? And the hardest one, and the least gratifying in a lot of ways, and the one that is being an entrepreneur. Mm-hmm. There's moments that are fun, like 99% of it fucking sucks, right? Like that's just like the reality. It's you know, the emotional things that you go through are just not fun for yourself and your family, and you know. But there's been a lot of things that have made it possible for me to be where I am. You mm-hmm. know, like that's, you know, my wife and I have been together since we were 15. So like, you know, and she's been that supportive, person in my life to, when I had the idea for St. Archer and I came home and told her we're moving, and, you know, like the, you know, a lot of people in that situation, male or female, say, are you out of your fucking mind? Mm-hmm. We have two kids, 3.5 and 6 months, and you want to move to San Diego to build a business? You're not a brewer and you don't know anyone in the alcohol business, and you want to move mm-hmm. and you're doing a capital raise. You don't even know what a capital raise is. Mm. And, you know, the fact she didn't say any of that and just said, I believe in you and let's move to San Diego, and I'm excited. That's an abnormal response.
Yeah.
Right.
Totally.
And so I think there's a lot of things like that you need to kind of break your way. You know, and that's a lot of it. And a lot of it, people don't, you know, I think for me, the internal drive has just always been there. And mm-hmm. I think it came from wanting approval. Mm-hmm. You know, I think like most people don't talk about, they say like it came because I'm competitive, which I am, but it came from wanting people to needing that external validation. And mm-hmm. I just took it to the highest level, I guess. Mm-hmm. But that's the real reason, was mm-hmm. just, you know, doing things big enough for people to say, that was amazing. You know, like if mm-hmm. you work a regular 9-to-5 job, which most of my friends do, you know, no one's really telling you that. And yeah. I guess that was a big enough thing for me that I needed that I just never got. And, you know, fortunately, you know, it never really comes, right? You got to get there yourself.
Yeah.
The content, it needs to come from within. And it took me a long time to figure that out. And, it feels nice to be there now, but it's funny because like, even through all the success, and, you know, I didn't feel anything. Mm-hmm. I didn't feel anything, which is crazy to say, because most people say, oh, when you saw your checking account balance, or you bought your new house, or you bought these new cars, or like, you know, people usually go to the material. Mm-hmm. For me, I felt absolutely nothing when I got all that. Mm. I didn't like smile. I didn't really like say, wow, I'm proud of myself. Never mm-hmm. did that. Mm-hmm. It happens in the most random ways. For me, it actually happened a trip to Philadelphia of all things. So,
okay. Tell me about that. What was it?
Yeah. My mom is from Philadelphia. Mm-hmm. And as a kid, our like annual trip would be go back to Philly and see her family. And, I'm a huge Philadelphia sports fan, and our thing together was to go to Eagles games. Mm. And, you know, that's what we did. And, you know, fast forward, you know, the president of the Eagles is actually an investor in Ashland.
That's awesome.
Yeah. So mm-hmm. we got connected, which is really fun for me for obvious reasons, right? Mm-hmm. Being able to text him on draft day to figure out who we're picking is yeah, fun for yeah. me.
Good for your fantasy football.
Yeah. Yeah. If I wasn't just such kidding. A huge fan, I don't do fantasy because I pick all Eagles, and I'd be like the worst person in the, but, so I'm flying in, this is right before COVID, actually, this is recent. Mm. And I'm flying in, I'm looking out the window, and I'm looking at Eagle Stadium, and it just hit me that I'm like, here I am at 41, flying into town to meet with the president of the Eagles, cause he's an investor in my business. And I was just like, you did it, man. Like that was the thing that made me, you know, feel like you did it. Like there's really nothing else. If everything else stopped from here and I got to that, then I'm okay. You know, but it's funny because it wasn't like what everybody thinks it is.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it just, it just wasn't. Yeah.
Well, I am resonating with that so hard. And I'm wondering like, if that's a trait that actually makes people successful is not to get too high on the highs and not too low on the lows, like that ability
to own,
even though it's like, you look back and you're like, wow, I should probably like feel more happy or celebrate or do the thing. Like I think that.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think that all the time. I'm like, I kind of surround myself with girlfriends who literally I'm like, hey, make sure I celebrate this over here. Cause I'm just like, that was great. But it kind of becomes like this thing that you wake up and you do. Like you almost need this like big challenge and purpose or I'm like very extreme. So I'm wondering if you feel that way, like you either need to like be really like in something challenging or you're kind of like, what is this? Like, why am I here? What?
Yeah. I just won't do it.
Yeah.
I fortunately I'm in that place now, but like, I think that, you know, going back to what you said is there a, you know, is it something that's learned? And like, I really don't think it is. Mm. I think it's innately in you, regardless of what my dad or mom, it would have been there, you know, like it's just there. It's that drive and, competitiveness and probably mixed in with insecurity and all those types of things. That's just kind of what my makeup was. But I think, you know, it's hard because I know everybody wants that, like that one sentence or like that magic bullet to like kind of the thing goes off in your head. It just doesn't work like that. You know, it just doesn't.
Yeah. It's interesting. I didn't know I was an entrepreneur until later. Cause I'd always had, you know, rando jobs as well, like terrible jobs, but at every job I was always just like, I literally can't believe I'm letting someone tell me what to do. Like it was I felt unemployable. Like I was just, I was a hard worker, but always I had like a just wait, like just wait till you see what I can do. Even though I was like a barista at a coffee shop, like, did you ever, so when you, did you have like jobs or were you always?
I started making films when I was 18. I started traveling around the world and filming surfing, and which was awesome. But then from when I made my first film, to make my first film, I was bussing tables and bartending in Santa Barbara in my early 20s.
Yep.
I had that. I think it was fine because I knew I was doing it to do something else.
Yep.
I think it's important for everybody to have those jobs where like, it's not, you just got to work, you know, and it's important to like have a goal in mind. But I think a lot of people, that's what happens. They take those jobs with a goal in mind. And then the scary part is like jumping in the deep end. And I think that fear is what holds everybody back. For me, that fear, it's weird because in my personal life, I have that where I've had anxiety and like mild depression, especially like going through these different, you know, peaks and valleys as being an entrepreneur, it's emotionally taxing.
Yeah.
Right. Like, and, I've had all of that, which I guess would be in some way, shape or form fear, but in my professional life, I have zero. Like I don't have that mechanism in my head that's scared, which doesn't really make sense because I have it in my personal life.
Mm-hmm.
But in business, I just don't have it.
So let me ask you, because I mean, fears come from you thinking a thought and then going down that train of thought and then imagining what could all happen.
The rabbit hole.
So do you just avoid the rabbit hole? Like, have you ever gone down the train of thought? Like, oh my God, what if I lose all this money? What if I, you know,
no,
you just don't go there. Like you don't even give it life.
Never.
See,
but the weird thing is in my personal side, I would, you know, like if that's what's so strange, maybe maybe that's where it stops for me. Or in a lot of ways, I've had it so much where you get that worst case. Like if my wife doesn't call me back, I'm like, she's got an accident. She's dead for sure.
Yeah.
You know, like that's,
Jeff, you go right that, there.
Yeah. Like all the way to the worst case.
Yeah.
So, but in business, I don't. And I don't know why. I really don't know why.
So did it, okay. So this is so interesting to me. Okay. So
yeah.
Do you just not like, maybe in business, do you feel like a sort of like wall of protection? Did you, I mean, I'm just going to unpack this just one more second longer because I'm so curious if we can pinpoint it. Like, did you maybe get the idea that even if you lost everything, it'd be okay and you could reinvent yourself? Did you see someone do this? Like, did you, is there, because sometimes when I believe something, it's because I can like go back to someone or something that I was like, that's the belief I'm going to keep, you know? Mm-hmm. Can you think of anything like that where you were just like, yeah, like, you can always reinvent yourself or.
Yeah, no, not so much. I think I find comfort in, you know, when you're doing consumer facing businesses, even though like I own an alcohol distributorship too. So that's not consumer facing, but like I find a lot of comfort in just doing everything that I can do. Mm. Right. And like, if I build the best brand with the best team, with the best liquid, we have all the distribution, we have all these things, we have everything going for, I built it to be the all-star team and all these things.
Yeah.
Well, then that's all I can really do. Mm-hmm. And like, if you do all of the right things that you can control, and then it goes to the uncontrollable, which is forcing someone to buy it and like it. Mm-hmm. If that, the uncontrollable fails, then that's that.
Yeah.
I mean, that, then I could look you in the eye as an investor and go, I did it all. Like I did it all right. And you would say, you know what, Josh, you did. Mm-hmm. And it didn't sell. I mean, you can't control that. So I think for me, I'm so driven in the being the best of what I can control that maybe that provides a lot of comfort for me in the things I can't control that, which could ultimately put you out of business. But like, if I was losing sleep over whether someone's going to go to the local grocery store and buy it, it's like, that's crazy. Mm. You know, like I just can't control that.
Yeah.
You know,
do you have a theory on like your dreams or ideas? Because I clearly you've created now two things that people desire and want and all the things. So the, like the ideation process, have you always just been like, you know, do you follow what excites you the most and you're like, that's it. And I'm running with it and I'm going to drive it, you know, to the end. Or is it like, do you always have a ton of ideas or kind of like, what is your theory on why you've been successful following these certain ideas? What is it about the idea in the beginning that lets you know for you to have such crazy certainty in your ideas? Right. Like there's got to be something.
Yeah, it's a good question. I think for me, it's like a gut. It's a category. Mm. It's, which sounds weird because when I did St. Archer, I didn't know anybody in the beer business and I'm not a brewer.
Yeah.
So like, there's really no reason for me to do a craft brewery, right? Like there's no real good reason. Other than I just wanted to build a brand and I saw a category that was massive and getting bigger and I didn't see any brands in it. Like I didn't see, you know, you come from skateboarding and surfing like I do. Everything is brand and marketing,
totally.
Right? Mm-hmm. And I looked at alcohol. I think that's why the alcohol business has suited me so well is because I'm very aggressive and want to go really, really fast. And alcohol, if you have that type of attitude, you can do well, right? Like, whereas like non-alcoholic or food, it doesn't work like that. You know, you can't go door to door. It just doesn't work like that.
Yeah.
I tried that. I owned an organic little kid's juice and coconut water, called Villager. Mm. So like, I think for me, it was really, you know, with hard seltzer, you could just, I see the category, it's exploding.
Yep.
And there's no brands. Like there's no like White Claw and Truly and all that. Like, who are you? You're nothing.
Right.
You know, you're like a, almost like a commodity level on the shelf. Like no one knows anything about you, which coming from surfing and skateboarding, you know everything about those brands. The people who are buying skateboards and surfboards and wearing the clothing, they know everything about Supreme and all these, right? And alcohol, that just doesn't exist. And so there's, and then when I kind of get excited, then I'll start looking into the category more, like, you know, hard kombucha. There's a lot of things I don't like about it, right? Just like the business end of it. And do I think it's scalable? And do I think it's this and that and blah, 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 you know, all these different things. And hard seltzer was really the perfect fit. It's been much harder than I thought it was going to be. And I mean, and I own my own alcohol distributorship, you know, and like, and with the track record that I have, acquiring talent to work at the business is obviously much easier and all those types of things. But I think it's just a hard seltzer came out of nowhere. I was meeting with an investor and he asked me if we were going to have a hard seltzer come into our book at Scout Distributing. And I said, I'm looking for one. And he said, well, you need one. And I said, no shit. But they all, you know, like they all, you know, like truly it's all the big corporate monsters and they all have distribution. There are no independent hard seltzers. And the light bulb went off and I said, fuck, I'll just do one. And that's usually how fast it happens. And from idea that day to the first can in the market was 5 months.
Wow.
So I just go 1,000 miles an hour,
which is really fast. Really, I can attest to that right now. That
so
is
I think
super
like,
fast.
You know, and getting everybody on board and raising capital and formulating everything and doing it all. It was fast, you know, but I knew that I needed to be the first independent craft seltzer that didn't come from a brewery. It needed to be a standalone business with a standalone story and authenticity. And that's what would make the impact. That's what the category was missing. And I guess I was right.
Yeah, absolutely. And I want to just that moment where you were like, it's that fast and you're like, oh, it's gotta be me. Is that just like a full yes in your body?
Yep.
Just like a, here it is. And then you don't look back. That's okay. It's totally what I do. And then I'm like, shit, here I am. Okay, here we go.
We're doing it.
And I think, so I talk a lot about that moment on this show just because that's where people, they look back and go, but you know, what was that? Is it right? And I take that moment of just like that full body yes, when it's, when your energy spikes and it's like, you can fly for that 10 seconds or that, you know, 1 hour, however long it lasts, it's fast. It's like a, you know, a match lighting and then it goes out. But I lock that in like so close. And I'm like, if I have this feeling and I decide to do all I can, kind of like what you said, like do all that you can, set yourself up for success, then I believe that it will be successful. Even if that wasn't the most successful, but it got me to my next successful idea. And I just, that is like just what I follow in my bones every single time. So was that what you got with St. Archer? It was just like the, yes, we're doing it. And you didn't look back.
Yeah. I mean, I think it was a little bit slower than hard seltzer, maybe because I'd never done an alcohol business before. But there was a moment when, you know, I was eating dinner in LA with the two guys that I founded the company with who were pro skaters and were not involved in the business. You know, it was like, you know, Josh, you have this great idea. We're excited to do it with you, but we're the face of Nike and the face of DC Shoes. Like we're not stopping that. Right. So it's really up to you. You know, if you want to do it, we support you. If you don't want to do it, it's just going to go away because we're not doing it. And I made that decision in that moment and said, I'm doing St. Archer. And I drove home, told my wife that night, I'm quitting making movies and we're moving to San Diego and we're doing it. And there was, and never looked back. And somehow figured out how to move down here and raise $3 million. And, have no fucking idea to this day how I did that. I do think there was one, I think like, you know, I think a lot of people ask like, how have you raised all this money? Like, how have you got, and I think a lot of it is personality, you know, just a that's God-given stuff, right? Like, your personality is God-given. And if you have that personality that people believe in when you speak. I don't think that's learned. I think it's like, it's an authentic thing, you know? And I'm not like a salesman. I'm not like, I don't network and all that bullshit.
Yeah.
Like I don't, I'd rather just stay home. Like mm-hmm. That's my innate personality.
Same.
So like when I, but people, when you say you go into the deep end, like all the way in, mm-hmm. you know, if I was meeting with you and I was telling you I'm doing this brewery, this is our aesthetic, this is the story, it's all these surfers and skaters and we're going to build this thing. And I moved to San Diego and I have two little kids and my entire fucking life is on the line. Mm-hmm. You would go, I like betting on people with their life mm-hmm. on the line.
Yep.
Right. But if I sat in front of you and said, well, I'm down in San Diego and I'm working this other job and I'm trying to like hustle this side thing with St. Art, you'd be like, well, yeah, I mean, why don't you like jump in and then call me back?
Yeah.
Right. And I think that's the scary thing that people don't want to do. Mm-hmm. They think they can develop something on the side and you can't. Mm-mm. You got to just go all in and like, we had nothing. We mm-hmm. couldn't even pay our bills the first year we were here. Mm-hmm. I mean, we were all in. And, you know, it was, and I never, you know, Janine never said, what if it doesn't work out? And I never thought, what if it doesn't work out? You know, and, you know, ultimately selling the business 2.5 years later. I think like that belief, like that overwhelming internal belief in what I was doing is essential. Mm-hmm. And I just don't feel like that's learned. But I think for the people listening or, you know, I think you can discover if you have that in you, and that's just as important, right? Mm-hmm. Like it's kind of nice to just know, hey, actually I'm not that person. I'm yeah. not that. I'm not, that's just as important, right? Because yes. it's like, well, then go be an effective and an amazing employee. You know, some of the best people that I've ever worked with or been around or whatever are not other entrepreneurs.
Yep.
They're people that have worked with me or I've seen that I've met at other businesses. Like, you know, it's not, I think everybody, they read the magazines and they want to be able to say to people they're an entrepreneur, but it's not what everybody thinks it is, mm-mm. you know?
Yeah.
There's a lot of times where I'm like, God, why do I fucking do this to myself? You know, like, you know, like yeah. it's almost like you're like an addict. Almost.
I was gonna say like a sickness.
Yeah, it is. It is. It's yeah. like you're an addict mm-hmm. and like my addiction is building businesses. Mm-hmm. And totally. It's like an all consuming, you know, and I have OCD thoughts anyways. Mm-hmm. And I think that, you know, like I will think about it and think about it and think about it until it reaches where, whatever my goal is. Mm-hmm. Right. And I think when you're like that, there's something, you know, wrong there or right or wrong or, you right. know, like but it's just, that's just in me. You
yeah.
know? So yeah, it's tough.
I
it's
feel
tough.
You.
It's
yeah.
tough. Yeah.
Yeah. It is interesting because my husband and I actually work with people who are entrepreneurs or want to be entrepreneurs. And a lot of the times that's the biggest conversation we have is just like, are you sure this is what yeah. you actually want? Like you have to be yeah. pretty clear on that. And if yeah. not, I'm actually so freaking grateful for the people who aren't, because I can't be an entrepreneur and neither can you do what you do if you don't yeah. have great, you know, people 100%. Who want to work and support someone else's dream. So it's kind of like,
of course,
and also like going all in on those dreams for them. Like what is their dream yeah. that supports this other dream? You know, cause it is interesting. Like I'm sure that you feel with mm-hmm. your companies, like, mm-hmm. yes, it's your baby and it's your dream, but there's nothing better than when other people have a sense of ownership in what you've created. Like, I think that's what entrepreneurs think for of sure. is like, how can I feel like it's not a big enough dream until other people are involved and have like a bit of a sense of ownership in it.
For sure.
And then it's like, sure. that's a dream, you know?
I think I've always owned these companies with kind of celebrity types.
Yeah.
Right. And it's fun for them to like really be a part of it. Right. Mm-hmm. It's not this like, you know, I think St. Archer, was definitely influential in that way for a lot of folks, like getting people involved to promote your brand and giving them equity and this and that. And St. Archer kind of kicked a lot of that off, which is weird to say. Mm-hmm. But I think, you know, the difference is they all, you know, they're all investing and we really built that thing together, right? These people really are my friends. It's not like we don't know each other. And, you know, like Lauren and Michael and like I talk to them all the time about what's happening, right? It's not like, it's not bullshit.
Yeah.
Right. It's and I think in a lot of ways, you know, that model is kind of being exhausted. And there's no authenticity to it. Like just because you have someone promoting it, people see right through that.
Yeah. You feel
it. You know, the way they speak about it and the way they're speaking about it really comes from me. Mm-hmm. Right. So like, if you're really not on that personal level with them, then there's going to be no warmth to what they're saying. Mm-hmm. Right. And I think that's been the biggest difference between me doing it and some other folks. And there have been people that have been really successful, but I think if you tap into that authenticity, like with what you're doing and, you know, all the, you know, the people that are speaking about your product, if it's kind of like your voice through them, then that authenticity and worth will come through, you know?
Mm-hmm. You know,
but that takes a strong personal relationship with them, not just like, hey, do you want to do this?
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, it's a different vibe.
All right. So if I'm going to interrupt this podcast for anything, it's going to be about chocolate. For real. You guys, I am obsessed with this product. If you want to eat decadent chocolate every day, completely guilt-free, this is for you. So you can stop saying no to all of your favorite desserts and start enjoying food again. Cacao Bliss from Earth Echo Foods allows you to eat all of your chocolatey favorites while making a positive impact on your health. Let me tell you why. Cacao Bliss crushes cravings, promotes proper gut health, relieves stress, supports brain health and mental focus, helps sustain energy throughout the day, and even supports your weight loss goals. I used to drink coffee all of the time in the afternoon, and yes, I still love coffee, but I try to replace it with Cacao Bliss because it's the perfect blend of the world's most powerful superfoods. Peruvian cacao, turmeric, MCT oil, coconut, Himalayan sea salt, cinnamon, and black pepper. And it has more antioxidants than broccoli, blueberries, and even kale. Plus, enjoying this chocolatey goodness and getting all the superfood benefits is easier than ever. You can devour it in a thick, velvety hot chocolate. You can enjoy it in delicious chocolate smoothies, or you can spruce up your morning coffee, all guilt-free. Right now, Cacao Bliss creator Danette May is giving 15% off of this delicious and powerful superfood blend to our listeners. All you have to do is claim yours. You can just visit earthecofoods.com/low-carb-conversations. Then you can enter the code low carb in all caps. She'll send you your Cacao Bliss along with a digital recipe guide so you can start enjoying it right away. That is earthecofoods.com/low-carb-conversations. And you can enter the code low carb for 15% off.
Yeah. And that other one that's not authentic is actually exhausting to you as the person. Cause it's like, you're trying to keep up this relationship that actually doesn't exist where kind of like you're almost, for me, it's like, cause I've thought of a few different people. I'm like, that's just, even though I would love that, it just doesn't feel easy for me. And when the time came for me to call on them, it wouldn't feel good. So it's like, right. And that's interesting too. So I'd love to ask you about that, kind of like following that authentic connection and knowing that even though there might have been like maybe some very shiny people or some very shiny things, like knowing that you'll be more blessed by the more authentic path. Like, do you have an experience of that at all?
I think I've been able to kind of pick the folks that I think would, you know, I've met with plenty of people that like maybe they're mutual friends or whatever, and it just didn't work out. You know, it's funny because a lot of people have said, I think that have been with me through raising capital and building these businesses. Like most of the people that work with me are the same people that I've worked with from the beginning. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, most of them will say, you have this weird ability to sit in a room with somebody and make it feel like you're doing them a favor by letting them invest.
Yeah.
And like, and you're not, but you're not, it's not, you're not like, it's not arrogance or whatever. Mm-hmm. It's more so like, this is what I'm doing. I'd be stoked to have you involved. If not, then that's fine. And I'll go find somebody else.
Yeah.
You know, and I think there's been plenty of people that I've met with and just said that they've said, let's do it. And I go, nah, mm-hmm. we need to like talk all the time.
Yeah.
You know, and there's been so many people that I could have one conversation with somebody and go, nope.
Yep.
First 5 minutes, mm-hmm. you know, it's just not there. And I just don't want to deal with their bullshit.
Yep.
You know, mm-hmm. like, and you can tell the people, you know, so fortunately, everybody that are involved, I really like, mm-hmm. you know, like I really, you know, I really like them as people, like going out to dinner and, you know, not everything is about the business. You know, if I'm in town, Janine and I are in town or they're here, like they're coming over for dinner and hanging out with my kids. And, you know, it's like, if you can find that, then that's kind of probably the secret. Mm. If you can have the right folks promoting your brand and owning your brand with you and like they really feel like this is mine.
Yeah.
Right. They might own like a small piece, but Jared Goff and Cody Bellinger and Lauren and all the other folks and all, they all feel just as much ownership over Ashlyn as I do, mm-hmm. you know, regardless of how much equity they own. Right. It's more about the involvement and the community of it rather than just transactional.
Mm-hmm. I think there's so many things about you and your brand that are like, you don't think about them, but if I was to like sit here and break you down or like break down what I feel like, cause I love learning.
I'm curious. It's just
I definitely see, because what I do before like meeting with investors is what you naturally do, but I have to like put some thought into it is just, mm-hmm. if I notice that I'm coming from a place of like, oh, I need these people, or I feel like I need them, even the littlest bit of need, I have to like go to a place where I'm like, no, like this is an opportunity. And I'm so clear on what this is that it's like, no one will make or break you or this company. Like it's, and everything is like already happening. Cause I'm like, you know, supporting the vision, like you talk about as much as I possibly can, that if I'm doing all the right things, all the right people will be attracted. So like, I just like step back for a minute and I'm like, there's no need here. Like, yeah, I have to release this feeling before I talk to people. And you obviously do that super naturally. You're just like, no.
Yeah. I mean, I think it definitely, for sure. I think it comes into play with like firing people. You know, before this, I'd never fired anybody as a filmmaker. Like I, you know, St. Archer, we ended with 80 employees. Like, you know, I think, you know, our alcohol distribution business and brewery, we're already up 70 employees, right? You like, we've built these big businesses and I've fired a lot of people now.
Yeah.
Some of them really hard, some of them really high level, some of them, you know, like, and I've had every reaction in the book. Mm. And I think, you know, going into it, it's this, that you don't fit. And this company is not me included. Mm-hmm. Like if I leave Ashlyn there, it would be a challenge, but product would still be on the shelves.
Right.
You know, like I look at myself, like I think everybody is replaceable. And if you start drinking your own Kool-Aid, that's really where, you know, I always tell people like when they're like, this is so awful and this is this, and we need to do this and we need to, right? I'm like, if you think people really give a fuck that much about Ashlyn, they're, it's like, it's a hard seltzer.
Yeah.
They're seeing it for 10 seconds on the shelf and then they're not thinking about us. People aren't going home and thinking about Ashlyn, like get over yourself.
Yeah.
Right. It's just a quick thing. And if you can keep that kind of humility, I think it's really important. It's hard, but it's important.
Wow. That's really powerful. So like you keep it super important and you follow through with what you need to follow through, but you also don't take it so serious that it like, you know, destroys you or your family.
Yeah, life or death. Yeah.
Yeah. No. It's, that's a really interesting balance of just like, you know, what is that? Like, is that just like, I'm going to just keep showing up and make sure this thing is successful, but it's.
Yeah. I mean, it's taken a lot of time.
Yeah.
You know, like it's taken a lot of time to get to that contentment.
Yeah.
And, you know, you kind of, you grow and learn if you're, I'm as self-aware as I think you can be, always trying to just be better husband and father and, you know, owner of a business, which is way down on the list. Mm-hmm. Right. And I think if you are self-aware, you kind of like can, you just take a step back more often than not. And I think a lot of people don't do that. Especially in roles of like where people are telling you how great you are all the time, you know, like that's, it sounds crazy to say that, but like it sure. I mean, people are telling me that all the time. This is amazing. You're amazing. This is everything's, you know, really means nothing,
yeah.
You know, like it doesn't mean anything. And like, you know, when people are telling me that I'm the most amazing is in a lot of times has been like the lowest points of my life. You know, and going through all the things that I've been going through personally, anxiety or depression or whatever. So like, doesn't make you feel better. It doesn't like, it means nothing. And so I don't worry about like, I don't follow all these other brands on Instagram and I don't read the trade journals. I don't like read inspirational books and all that. I don't care what anybody else is doing. I focus on what I'm doing and everything else is completely noise.
So when you are trying, well, I think right now what I'd like to know is like, where in your life are you trying to improve? Like if you're a really self-aware person right now, there's got to be something that you're aware of that you're either working through. Maybe it's, you're noticing more anxiety, or maybe you're working through something in your family life. Like what is something right now that you're working on and how is it coming up for you?
Yeah, it's an easy one for me. It's really just contentment and really being content with the things that I really give a fuck about, you know, like, and there's really, you know, there's only a couple things, you know, like, and there's really, when you really break it down in your day-to-day life, like you can get worked up over something or you can, you know, this or that. And you act like you care for a multitude of reasons. Maybe you want a certain reaction from someone, or you feel like you're supposed to act a certain way, or, you know, and I think for me, it's, you know, now there's only a couple things that I really care about and identifying those and really only getting up or down about those things everything else is just doesn't mean anything. It means something on the surface, right? Like I want the business to do well. I want certain people to, you know, prosper, all these different things. But like, I really started breaking down, like, do you really care about this?
Yeah.
9 times out of 10, the answer is no.
Yeah.
I mean, it's really no. And I think always coming back to the center of that is, has really been a big deal for me. And it's constant work every single day, you know? Like you know, you get a call and my first reaction was, well, fuck that. Fuck them. Fuck, you know, like that's like the, and then, you know, now when I get those calls, you know, I'll actually ask myself, do you really care about this? And then that's changes my reaction every time. And that's just discipline and being self-aware, I guess.
Yeah. That is so powerful to get clear on the things that you care about and then, you know, weigh it against everything that comes in, weigh it against that measurement.
Yep.
And that's been helpful for me of like, knowing your measurements, like, and weigh it against that. But for drive's sake, like, because, you know, you're the driver behind pushing things forward as an entrepreneur and a business owner and the visionary, which, you know, can be a lot of pressure. So how do you, it's the weirdest balance, right? Like, how do we keep our massive drive and like, let that fire you up when certain things happen, but also weigh it against like, oh, it's no big deal.
For sure. I think and I've struggled with the same thing. You know, like it doesn't mean you don't care. It just means that it's just your reaction, right? Mm. Like I'm driven and competitive by nature.
Yeah.
That was like just ingrained in me. There's no, and it's like kind of crazy. You know, I will keep one thing in my head. It'll motivate me through an entire business. Mm. You know, like I had, not to go off on a tangent, but the first investor I ever met with for St. Archer was a famous TV personality. And I was there with my 6-year-old son, swinging him in his, mm-hmm. in his car seat, mm-hmm. trying to get him to stay asleep. My daughter's 3 years old running, going crazy. And I'm like, oh my God, this is a disaster. He's looking at the deck and he looks at me, holds it up, throws it in the trash, looks at me again and goes, not only is this the worst idea I've ever seen, you can't do it. Mm. And I think like, and then 5 years later, when the Wall Street Journal article came out that I sold St. Archer to Coors, I sent him a text. I was right with that article, right? So that like, that's your personality.
Yeah.
You know, you can't get away from that. So I think like, that's always in me. Like I'm naturally going to just try and be the best and win. That's just natural. But there's a big difference between that and like letting things really affect you that you can't control, right? Yeah. Someone says something or does something or something happens, like how I react is what I've been working on. Not so much whether I like am going to not build the best business I can.
Mm. Yep.
Right. There's a big difference there. Like yep. And I think that part is in you. I think you can work on how you react to things. I think you can change that about yourself. I think becoming more conscious and aware and all these things, what you can't get is more driven, in my opinion. Yeah. I think you are or you are not.
Yeah.
And that doesn't mean you wouldn't be an effective employee.
Right.
But it takes a certain kind of personality to go, I'm building something from scratch and I don't give a shit what anybody says, you know?
Yeah.
But it's two totally different things. Mm-hmm. I think it's just a complex deal, I guess.
Yeah, it's all very complex and it's weird because it's all related and then you have to all separate it as well. It's very bizarre. Yeah. I could talk about it all day for the rest of my life, which is why I have a podcast. I was like, let's talk about this with everyone. I want to know for you, do you have you've had so many life experiences at this point. You've built successful businesses. And I think with that, obviously there's been a ton of failures. That's why you're successful. What are some universal truths let's just start with, we'll talk about relationships as well, but for building a business, is there like, if you were to write a book with like 1 to 3 universal truths about building business, what would those be?
Man. I think number one is it's way harder than you think it is. And I think, which goes along with number two, it's not as great as you think it will be or as fun or like, it's really not. Mm-hmm. It's really not. It's like that. And then number three, I think against all the adversity, which could be at home or people in your life or people telling you, you know, outside noise, like going to work anyways. You know, and that's a hard thing to do. Like my first 2 years living here and when I was building St. Archer, and we're probably some of the hardest years of our marriage, you know, and like we've been together since we were 15.
Yeah.
It was a really, really hard time. And when you're going through those arguments, you know, no one talks about all that, right? Mm-hmm. They just see like the product on the shelf. Oh, you're killing it. You guys must be stoked. And like, really, why? That doesn't mean shit about anything.
Yeah.
Right. Mm-hmm. They don't see what happens to get all of that there. Mm-hmm. And like your wife feeling like alone and you move to a new place and she has 2 little kids and she's frustrated and I'm not there. And all of those conversations going on. And then like you go to work anyways, you know, and you keep pushing through that is fucking hard. Mm-hmm. Right. And like, it's emotionally hard, right?
Yeah.
And like to to stay in that headspace and not feel like a complete selfish prick and like talk yourself out of it. Cause that's easy to do. Forget it. I just quit.
Yeah.
This is too gnarly. It's too gnarly on her. It's too gnarly on the kids. It's too gnarly. It's too gnarly on me. To stay with it, it really tests who you are. And so that's when I say it's way harder than you think. It's emotionally way harder.
Yeah.
You know, and like all people see is the end and read magazine articles. And even then, that's not what it's cracked up to be, you know?
So what do you think the payoff is? Because there are days, obviously, lots of them. You had mentioned, you know, the 99% of days that are super crazy. What is that payoff that keeps you coming back? Like, and I know most people who listen to this are, you know, dream builders, entrepreneurs, that type of thing. Mm-hmm. So we're right there with you. Like, yeah, why this is, you know, amazing. We wouldn't have it any other way, but it's also the worst thing ever. So what is the payoff for you?
For me, it's really like, you know, you reach that point where you go, this is a successful brand, right? And that's kind of the drug, I guess, is building something from nothing against the odds. And I mean, everybody told me, how are you going to get people to not drink White Claw and Truly?
Yeah.
You know, like, well, I'm going to go show you how I'm going to do it. Mm. You know, like, and that's that to me, you know, the win comes when, and you can just know, like, you know, the momentum is there and everybody's consuming it and talking about it and all you know when it's a success, right? And for me, it really just proving to myself that I can do it when other people think that I can't. And that is the internal fire that just stays until I go, you did it. So there's no real, like, it's not so much, well, yeah, when I sell a company, then I go, then that's the moment. That's not really the case. It's more so like you did it. You really, I enjoy disrupting a category. That's really what it comes. I enjoy competing at the highest level. And if you can piss those people off, you won. And I've done that. So I like that.
Yeah.
I like that. So when you start getting that feedback that like, so-and-so's pissed off and they're moving your display to the back and they, you know, they have all, then I'm like, we did it. We did it.
We're good. Yep.
Yeah, we're good. And then whatever happens from here, you know, like my goal for Ashlyn is to build a national brand. And I didn't get to do that with St. Archer. And really, I think when I sold St. Archer to Coors, that's where I kind of figured out you are an entrepreneur. Cause like if I would have stayed at St. Archer and just worked for Coors, well, then I'm a business owner.
Interesting.
Right? There's a big difference. You know, a lot of my friends that have sold their companies, they just stay there.
Yeah.
They don't go do, I've done five businesses in between St. Archer and Ashlyn, which is really looking for that feeling again of competing. And some businesses provide you that and some don't. That doesn't mean they're not successful. They're just, you don't get that feeling of like, we're really disrupting and we're really punching people in the mouth as hard as we can. And that's the feeling that I was looking for again.
Yeah.
And I only wanted it one more time.
Yeah.
Like this is it.
This one is
it for me. This is it. Yeah.
We'll talk again in a little while. I'm just kidding.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I'm done. My, you know, Janine, I don't have it in me to do it again. To start from scratch again. She doesn't, you know, and I think this is it. Like I've done it, you know?
So are you starting to see what your plan is for after this? Do you want to do, cause it seems like someone with your personality though, will always want to be in something. So is it like, you want to help out with other businesses, advisory roles? What is that?
No, I think I'll just kind of do, I want to build this into a national brand. Yeah. And then if we do partner with somebody to do that, I'll stay.
Okay.
And do this. And I'm excited about, you know, with the right partner building a big brand. And then if they have other brands kind of working on those. And, you know, I wasn't in that place in my life when I sold it to Coors.
Yeah.
Right. I had I had more that I needed to prove to myself that that I was not just like, I didn't just get lucky.
Yeah.
You know, and I know it wasn't luck, but you still want to like, I just wanted to drive it home, mm-hmm. you know? Yeah. And Ashlyn did that, and I'm content with it now.
Mm, that's amazing. Well, yeah. I could talk to you all day. literally, I'm like, sorry, great. I hardly got to anything I want to ask you. No, but I got so much more out of it. So what are some things that like, what do you want to leave with people? Like when you meet people or when you look at, you know, different people who are building things or just people in general, what are some things that you feel like yeah. if you bestowed some of your wisdom upon them that yeah. you feel like you could really help them out with life?
Yeah, I think there's inspiration in for me, it's always people that I relate to, mm. you know, and like, I think that's the biggest thing is, you know, the successes and things make it unrelatable in a lot of ways, but like where I come from and what I am is really just like everybody else. Mm. It's not like, and I think there's inspiration in that, like, you know, my broken home, single mother, didn't have much, like awful student, mm-hmm. right? I think I'm, you know, before everything, I'm just like everybody else, right? Like I didn't have any advantages. I didn't have like, you know, I didn't have any of these things that would be so overwhelming, right? Like mm-hmm. I didn't have any of that stuff and still was able to like pull something off that I wanted to do. And I think like, so it's not as much as everybody thinks, to like, just start doing it. Just going, really the biggest step is I really want this and like whatever that is. And like, I really, it's like an internal fire. Like I really want this. And once you identify what that is, like no matter what your situation is, you can get there. It's, you know, like I said, I had no real like advantages that would be anything to speak of, right? Like, do people have it way worse than me? Absolutely, right? Mm. But I didn't have some crazy deal. And I think finding inspiration in that is like, this dude's just like me. Mm-hmm. Like he found out that he wanted to do something and then went and did it. Like, you know, I'm not the smartest. I'm not the most creative. Like when I was a filmmaker, I didn't make the best films. You know, like I was never an all-star in sports, right? Like I was never the best really at anything, but I just kept doing things that like sounded great to me and kept following it and following it and following it and stayed persistent. Mm-hmm. And having that persistence is like really the biggest thing. It doesn't mean you're going to be successful, but at least at the end of it, you'll know I fucking did everything I could.
Yeah.
And really, what else do you have other than that?
Mm-hmm.
But, right. Like,
and that's what it boils down to. What else?
It.
Like, just
that's
look at
it.
Like
nothing.
Really look at what else.
Yep.
And then
there's
decide.
Nothing else. Yeah. I did it all. Yep. I did it all. And like, that's the biggest win is in the end going, I did it all. Mm-hmm. If you're honest with yourself and the honest answer is, yeah, I did it all that I could, then you killed it.
Yeah, totally agree. Love that.
Yeah.
Oh my God. Yeah. A couple amazing things, that I got from you on this podcast is just like getting to like talk to somebody with the level of the decision to have, like, you have such a level of certainty. It's actually, whether you like Tony Robbins or not, he has the best quotes. It's like the most certain person in the room wins. And that's 100% why you win in every room that you're in is you just, like you said in the beginning of this podcast, you do not look back. You're like, nope, that's it. That's what I'm doing. And then if you want to take the island, you have to burn the boats. And you're just like, no way
that's
out.
It.
There's no way
that's
out
it.
From here. And we're doing this. So those, I think those are like the key to like, that's just the key.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
so great.
Getting yourself there is another thing. You know, it's hard to get yourself. Everybody has the external factors of family and challenges and all these different things. And there's a lot of sacrifice. You know, like you have to be willing to do that. And it sounds like you would, but when you're really in it, and and the sacrifice is real. Like, it's really impacting other people's lives. Mm-hmm. That's really hard.
Yeah.
You know, and I'm not even saying that it's the right thing to do.
Right.
You know, like, in a lot of ways, there's things I've done to like keep achieving my internal goal that have like, you know, I've broken plans and I've disappointed people, mm-hmm. and I've done all of those things. And looking back, was it worth it? I could argue that.
Mm-hmm.
I could argue that, like, what it's done to people. Mm-hmm. You know, I think it was just something I needed to do to finally get content with myself. I think the real awful thing would be if you did all that and then you just never found contentment right. in your life.
Yeah.
Then you're like, that's a shocker.
Yeah. So I guess that's the question right there is like, is this going to make you become the person who you either know you're meant to be, or is this going to make you feel right. content, or yeah, right. there's definitely massive sacrifices and relationships that are, feel that. And I think that's always the choice on here that I hear from people is like, well, you know, I get a lot of crap from my parents or my in-laws or my spouse, or it's just like, I'm disappointing people. And not the game, but you know what I'm saying? Like, that's
what it is. And you know, I think the hard thing is like looking at, you know, if you have some sort of dreams and like the person you're with should be supporting that within reason, right?
Yes. Yeah.
Like there's within reason. Like it was fine for Janine and I to move, right? Our kids were little, you know, my daughter wasn't in eighth grade and like ruining her life and moving, right?
Right.
They're little.
Right.
And we were young, and like, you know, if Janine in that situation would have said, you know what, fuck you, we're not going anywhere.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's like, are we really like the right people for each other? Like, you're not even like meeting me halfway.
Yeah.
Like that's, and I think then hopefully when you run into those roadblocks that are kind of unreasonable and going, I'm making a change. Mm-hmm. I'm making a change. Like, this isn't what I thought it was. Then I think, you know, and then people are scared to make that choice. It's like it's a series of really scary choices to have this type of success.
Mm-hmm.
And I think most people aren't willing because it's uncomfortable.
Yeah.
It's uncomfortable to have those conversations. It's uncomfortable to fire people because you know they're not the right person and you need someone better.
The worst.
And they're blaming you. There's people all over that blame me for ruining their life and they weren't a part of it. And they're, you know, and then you have to live with that.
Yeah.
You have to live with people going, oh God, it's nice to meet you. I heard you were a fucking asshole.
Yeah.
You know, like you have to deal with those things. And you're like, what do you mean? I'm not a bad, I'm a nice person.
Yeah.
You know, I just had to make the right decision, which was uncomfortable. And, you know, all that stuff is really hard, but it all depends on your perspective and what you're willing to sacrifice.
Mm-hmm. Oh my God. I literally just could have taken this three other directions right now. I'm like,
sorry.
Are you kidding me? These are my favorite kind of conversations, but, that's a whole other thing that I'll have to have you back on, just talking about really, cause I can see you have so much wisdom on relationships. And that's something that I think is one of the biggest things that holds people back is the fear of disappointment. And I think it's like figuring out your dream with your partner together and then always going back to, but does, no matter what we're going through right now, does this still align with the ultimate outcome of the vision? Like, cause if that's the vision and we're both committed to it, then this is what comes with it. Right. And it's like, as long as you're both committed to that, where sometimes the other one is like, well, now the vision is no longer worth it to me. So then that's have some problems.
We've been there.
Yeah.
We've been in all those places. And I think like and she's also been there when the business, the stress is so overwhelming of everything that it drives me into a different personal space that she's like, this isn't what I signed up for. Right.
Yeah.
But I think if the light at the end of the tunnel is you have to compromise at some point, right? It can't always just be about you, right? It's, and for me in my life, it was the things that I give a fuck about are my wife and kids. Like in the end, that's when you're dying, that's what you're thinking about. You're not thinking about the businesses. You're not thinking about all this other stupid bullshit that you go through and who posted what on Instagram and all that stupid shit.
Yep.
right? Like, you're probably thinking about your wife or husband and your kids.
Yep.
And like, for me, everything, it's them. And then everything is a very distant third. And work, everything. So like, once the priority shifted, and it's not about saying that, it's your actions say all that.
Yeah.
Like, if I have to go on trips, you have me for the 1 hour that I'm there, and then I'm going home.
Yeah.
There's no like having drinks later. There's no going a day early. I go for 1 hour and then I'm done.
Yeah.
Right. Like, and I think over time, as your spouse or whoever starts seeing your commitment and the priority of them being first, then the trust starts to come back around. So now when I tell Janine, Ashlyn is my last one, and she knows that the trust is there, that if this is it.
Yeah.
And she goes, okay, I'll sign up for one more. And she knows when it's done, I'm done.
Yeah.
And then my focus will go to her, right? This has taken 25 years of dating and like, you know, being married and all of the things, but it's the, I think once you realize, and maybe you say to yourself, my wife and kids, well, you know what, my wife, maybe you don't say that about your wife. Maybe that's like the one, maybe you don't give a fuck about that. I know plenty of those people too.
Yeah.
Well, then it's probably, you're probably in an unhealthy environment. And at a certain point, like staying together for the kids, like I come from a broken home. So like, that's not, you know, they'd rather be apart than see you guys fight and want to kill each other all the time.
Yeah.
You know, and
definitely,
that's what I think people, there's so many dynamics that go into all this stuff. And especially, you know, like the boundaries of when you're creating your own schedules. Why can't you just come home? Like, you're the boss.
Yeah.
Right. Like, you're, what's the fucking, I need, you know, and I think there's all of those dynamics, and the relationships have been the hardest thing about everything. Because, you know, it would be impossible to say there's not resentment when you're kind of like pushing somebody into it.
Right.
Right. Like, when it gets hard, it's hard to not be like, well, I didn't even fucking want this.
Right. Yep.
You know? And then you got to come back around to that. I could talk about this stuff forever. And it's tough too, because the spouse and your kids don't get any credit for your success. You know, they, you know, Janine's home with the kids, and now she works for Ashlyn too. But no one tells her how great she is all day.
Yeah.
You know, like, they just tell me. And she's like, wait a minute, I'm the one who's sacrificed. I'm the one who's like, blah, blah, blah. Like, yeah, you've done all this in the front, but I'm the one in the back.
Yeah. So let's shout out to Janine. What is Janine? Like, what do you want to, like, what do you want people to know about her?
I mean, she, like, she's a person that just doesn't come around, you know, like, she's, and without her and the support, and really just like, even like quiet support, right? She is super proud of me, and like, she tells me how amazing everything is all the time, but like, she's just supportive, right? And a lot of, and like, knowing that support is there no matter what, no questions asked, unconditional. I would have never been successful without her. Right. I would have never done it. It's like, she hears it all, right? she has a hand in every brand I've ever created. Like, she's way more innately creative than me, right? Do this here, change the packaging here. This is too yellow. Do this, blah, blah, blah. Don't do this. Stop being such an asshole to so-and-so. Like, dude, like, right? You know, like, without those little, that's what people don't see in the spouse. And a good one is that one who goes, hey, you're not that rad. Like, come back down to here, and in the nicest way. But like, finding that is rare.
Yeah.
You know? And she, I know that she doesn't care about any material, the house and the car, she doesn't, whatever material stuff you like. She just wants me here. She just wants me home. And I think knowing that and the comfort in that is a special thing,
yeah,
for sure.
So amazing.
Yeah.
That'll have to be a whole other podcast. Anyway. You guys really should do one together. yeah. That would be awesome.
Yeah.
So grateful for you. What can we do for you? Where can we find you, follow you, be a part of all your things?
I have an Instagram, but every day I'm considering deleting it.
So, been there.
Every day, but Ashlyn Hard Seltzer is the Instagram to follow. And,
okay.
It's fun.
And we can get you in stores or online or
in Southern California. Okay. Yes. Pretty much everywhere. And then online, there's various sites where you can order it.
Okay. Amazing. Yeah. Well, I'm so grateful for you. I feel like, certain people come into your life to give you a little shot in the arm. And I feel like I got mine today. So it's another boost to another finish line. Awesome. So grateful. And you guys, if you love this podcast as much as I did, make sure you tag Ashlyn and also let Josh know what your biggest takeaway was from this. Like, what was your aha moment? What was your biggest takeaway? It's always such a gift for the person to know what exactly that was that impacted them. So you guys, until next time, earn your happy. Bye, everyone. Thank you guys so much for spending this time with me on the Earn Your Happy podcast. I am so glad that you stopped by. If you could take 1 second to share this episode with someone you think would love it, that would be absolutely amazing. And we would be forever grateful. Also, please leave us a review if you feel so moved by going to iTunes and leaving us an honest thought, an honest comment. Tell us what you think. Tell us what you want to hear more of. It would really help us out on our journey to helping thousands and thousands of people. Until then, don't forget to earn your happy. Thanks again, guys. Bye-bye.